to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards here with you. It's Saturday evening, October 16th, and I am here now by myself, Keith Alexander the Great, just leaving the studio, having left the studio, I guess would be the proper grammar there. But I'm here flying solo this hour until Eddie the Vomiter Miller joins me, that is, from AM 1380 WLRM Radio here in Memphis. Of course, going out live to the AM-FM affiliate stations this evening of the Liberty News Radio Network and around the world, simulcasting at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. If you're just now tuning in to the radio program, where have you been? We start at 6 Central. No, actually, there are some AM affiliates here of LNR that don't pick up our show until the second hour. So if you're tuning in late, of course, you can catch the first hour in our broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But for the benefit of those who are just now joining us in progress, I want to quickly recap some of the announcements that we laid out for you during the first hour. And first and foremost, most among those being a Political Cesspool video project now officially underway. We have ventured into the world of video, HD video, no less. So check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There you will no doubt find links to our official YouTube channel. And we've already got, I think, 4 videos posted, interviews that we did. Just quick, succinct videos of some of the guests we've had on the program. I think Jared Taylor, Richard Spencer, Merlin Miller, and Paul Fromm are some of the people we've caught up with already and put them onto video. So now video, that's the next phase of the evolution of our award-winning work here at TPC. Check it out on YouTube and at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I mentioned also just a moment ago, I'm going to be going up to New York tomorrow. I'm going to be taping a video there for you that we'll be placing on our website. So check it out. So much forthcoming. We're just now beginning to break ground on this video project, and we're excited about all the promises that it holds as we use this opportunity to further complement the work of our radio program. Of course, the radio show is the anchor of all of our operations, but we use our blog and now this video project and the book, my book, which was released earlier this summer. All of that is used to further complement the work that we do here at the main attraction, which is the show you're tuned into right now, The Political Cesspool. Eddie the Vomiter Miller, I mentioned, will be joining me in a few minutes. Had a big interview with a French newspaper. Now, that would be significant no matter how you slice it, but when the French newspaper actually dispatches its journalists from Paris to Memphis just to talk to us about our work, well, that's worthy of a couple of segments, and Eddie will be joining me in a few minutes to tell us how that went. And was there anything else? Anything else? Videos? Big newspaper. Oh, yeah. Richard Spencer and Paul Godfrey, two of our favorite guests, will both be appearing during the third hour tonight together in tandem. You're not going to want to miss that. So I'm telling you, we got a loaded deck here the rest of the way out. Now I want to give you our quote of the day. Our quote of the day. Now, Keith Alexander mentioned this. You can never placate liberals. You can never placate those who hate the founding stock of this nation. No matter how much you give them, they can only reply with one word. That word is more. You're never going to appease them. You're never going to placate them. You're never going to curry their favor. So why bend over backwards to try to do that? Now, I'm not saying treat them unfairly. Treat them fairly. But don't sacrifice that which is good for your family to try to win favor with people who have never liked you and never will like you, apparently. And so that leads us to the quote of the day. A lot of white people, both liberal and conservative, quote-unquote, operate under the false assumption that one of these days, and it shouldn't be long now, everyone in America is going to agree that, yes, white folks are evil, but after decades of spending trillions of dollars on affirmative action, quotas, welfare, minority set-asides, Head Start programs, etc., 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 white people have done enough, and it's time to rescind and abolish all this stuff. you know, the affirmative action and the quotas and welfare. It's time to abolish all that and treat everyone exactly the same, regardless of skin color, just as the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted us to do. Now, that's the, I think, the operating premise of a lot of people that are misguided into supporting the Republican Party, the neoconservative establishment. Well, I tell them, you know, good luck with that, because it's never going to happen. And here's the quote that proves it. The quote of the day was declared by Peter Johnson, who is a quote-unquote, and as we know, any black person that was born before 1960 is either a reverend or a civil rights leader or both. And it just so happens that Peter Johnson is quoted as a longtime civil rights figure, and he's a member of the West Dallas Ministerial Alliance. So he is, in fact, both. He's a pastor or a reverend and a doctor and a civil rights leader, all in one, as they all are. And he said this: if for the next 100 years, Hispanics and African Americans were given no-bid contracts in Dallas, it would not make up for the hundreds of years we were denied the right to participate in contracts in this city. So basically, folks, you can either start fighting back or you can get used to it. But this stuff is not going to go away on its own. This mentality, this victim mentality that has been beaten into the heads of the minorities in this country is not going to go away. I mean, this is just the latest in 1,000 quotes I could have brought to your attention tonight. If for 100 years, you give blacks and Mexicans no bid contracts, you just give them the work, this civil rights leader, quote unquote, in Dallas says, that wouldn't even come close to making up for the hundreds of years that they were denied the right to participate in contract bids in Dallas. Never mind the fact that Dallas was only established as a city about 140 years ago. No, you know, I mean, you know, no, never mind that. But anyway, this is what we got to deal with, and you see it every day. And what do, you know, the mainstream conservative establishment do in response to this? They just grovel more. He just said you're never going to be able to win their favor. No matter what you do, it's not going to be enough. But, you know, come on, baby, give it to me. Speaking of Dallas, I got to tell you something. Dallas isn't Dallas anymore. When you think of Dallas, what do you think of? You think of oil barons. You think of fundamentalist white churches everywhere. You think of the good old boys, Bubba, cowboys and barbecue and horses and ranches and all that stuff. Well, It actually wasn't that long ago when Dallas was the top rated TV show in the country. And it was a show about white people, because back in 1980, something like 80% of the people who lived in Dallas were white. Well, those days are long gone. And so is the culture that we've associated with Texas for over a century. I'm going to pause right there. Since we're in Texas, and since we know that if you give blacks and Mexicans no-bid contracts, we're never going to curry favor, and that came from a Texas or a Dallas civil rights leader, let's talk about Dallas a little bit more on the other side, why don't we? And got a lot coming for you in this next segment. So stay tuned. I'm James Edwards, and I'll be back with you to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We were talking about Dallas, Texas before the last commercial break interrupted us, and I was mentioning oil barons and Christians and good old boys, barbecue, cowboys, horses, Bubba. You know, that's the Dallas of old. Those days are long gone. That was a healthy Dallas. That was the culture that we've long associated with Texas for over a century, but it's gone. In the 2000 census, Dallas had a population. Now get this was 10 years ago. In 1980, the population of Dallas, according to the census, was over 80% white. In 2000, 20 years later, the Dallas, Texas area had a population that was 50.8% white. Now, that's almost certainly below 45% now, if not even lower than that. Something like a third of Dallas households speak a language other than English at home. A third of Dallas. Now, Dallas, Texas, what an iconic American city, a great southern city, historically speaking. Now, less than 45% white. A third of the residents in Dallas don't speak English. And Dallas's sheriff. Now, when you think of Dallas, Texas, you think of all that iconic, you know, stuff I was mentioning a second ago. Now, when you think of the sheriff of a city like Dallas, what do you think of? Picture it in your mind. I guarantee you, you're not even close to what reality is, unless you've read my blog, of course. Dallas's sheriff, far from being a beer-bellied good old boy, is a Hispanic lesbian named Lupe Valdez. You heard it right, folks. The city of Dallas, Texas has a sheriff that is a Hispanic lesbian. Now, to make things even more exciting and diverse, we've got 18-year-old Andy Marino. And this is a male, if you want to call him that. Andy is running for office at North Dallas High School. The office that he is running for is that of homecoming queen, in spite of the fact, well, you know what he's got. You know, that doesn't matter at all. All that matters is that he identifies as a female. Despite, you know, the God-given anatomy of a male, he identifies as a female. And that's what's important in America in the year 2010. In Martin Luther King's Diversity Wonderland, he identifies as a female, no matter what he actually is. And that's what counts. And so he's running for homecoming queen to prove it. He wears... We got a video of this on the blog. You might have to scroll back a few days. I posted this, I think week before last, but it's there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. This is what America's turning into, sadly. So this person, Andy Marino, he wears girls' clothes and he talks like a girl. So he is a girl. And anyone who says otherwise is full of hate. And the hate-filled principal at North Dallas High School doesn't want to allow it. He doesn't want to allow Andy to run for homecoming queen because he's a male. And so the principal told Andy that he should run for homecoming queen. Homecoming king, excuse me. Just reading the story is confusing. So, you know, come on. So anyway, you got the guy, he's running for homecoming queen. I'll break it down in a nutshell. Got the guy, he's running for homecoming queen. The principal doesn't like it, naturally. And he wants Andy to run for homecoming king. Well, that doesn't go over too well with the modern day pervert. So Andy is taking his case to the media and is no doubt considering suing the school. And remember how all the colorblind conservatives told us that blacks are really on our side because they voted against homosexual marriage in California? Well, the student body of North Dallas High School is overwhelmingly black, and according to press reports, they're in favor of letting a male run for homecoming queen. In fact, they nominated Andy Marino for the title. This is the brave new America that we find ourselves hurtling towards, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll give you another pathetic example of the feminized male that we have to deal with. Not quite as bad as Andy Marino, but Republican Carl Paladino, who's running for governor of New York against left-wing Democrat Andrew Cuomo, isn't much better. Paladino is trying to portray himself as a conservative on the right, but he's no such thing. He just made that clear. He's just another Sarah Palin or George Bush or Glenn Beck telling conservatives what he thinks they want to hear in hopes of getting elected. Slogans and wisecracks and soundbites substitute for reasoned arguments and moral convictions in today's political process. But when all hell breaks loose, they can't backtrack fast enough. Now, the other day, Paladino told a bunch of people who just happened to be ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbis, no less, that, and I quote, "We must stop pandering to the pornographers and the perverts who seek to target our children and to destroy their lives. I didn't march in the Gay Pride Parade this year. The Gay Pride Parade this year, my opponent did. And that's not the example that we should be showing our children. Certainly not in our schools, to which he received, believe it or not, from this group of ultra-Orthodox rabbis. They supported him. They applauded the fact that, yeah, you know what? The homosexual agenda isn't something that should be force-fed to our children at school. Well, the media picked up on the fact that a Republican candidate dare say that the homosexual agenda isn't just as good as the heterosexual traditional marriage agenda. The liberals and the homos and Cuomo, they all went ballistic, saying that it was talk like that which leads to people like Adolf Hitler and teenage homosexuals committing suicide. And they even said, the Democratic Andrew Cuomo said, the idea that homosexuality and heterosexuality aren't equal is quote-unquote repugnant. Now, what an opportunity this created for Carl Paladino. You have a bunch of crazy left-wing advocates of cultural Marxism, and they don't get much crazier on the left than when they say it's repugnant to think that heterosexuality is normal. Now, this is something that candidate Paladino could have really capitalized on, but did he? No. Of course not. He's a mainstream Republican, so he immediately began to backtrack. He went on national television and gave interviews to various reporters, and he said that his only problem with the radical gay rights agenda was gay marriage. Except for that, he said, and I quote, "I unequivocally support all gay rights. All gay rights." So, one day, he's given a speech, and he says that this is perversion, has no place in our schools. It's absurd to think that homosexuality is natural, that it's valid, that it's equal to traditional heterosexuality or normalcy, to which he received applause, but it leaked to the media. Later that same week, he goes on and he says that he supports all gay rights. I actually saw him on with my own two eyes. He was on with that creep Matt Lauer, and he was given an interview to the Today Show in which he was groveling, begging for Matt Lauer's forgiveness, begging for Matt Lauer to forgive him for his sins by saying, you know, heterosexuality is okay. And the caption on the TV said, "Candidates that embrace extreme politics," as if it's an extremist position to say that heterosexuality is superior to homosexuality. Well, anyway, so this is what you get, folks. We've seen it 100 times. Seen it 1,000,000 times. You've got to support radio shows like the Political Cesspool. There are a handful of organizations out there that are fighting for your rights and advancing our issues without retreat, surrender, or apology. The mainstream Republican candidates are not doing it. We're doing it, and we need your support. Go to the Political Cesspool and support us tonight. I'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away, the Political Cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever
do. All right, everybody. I mentioned in the last segment, you know, there are many reasons why I believe that this radio program deserves your support, not the least of which being the fact that we are truly receiving just lavish amounts of celebrity of late, not to mention over the course of the last few years, but just this summer alone, the amount of mainstream media attention that this radio program has garnered has just been absolutely unprecedented as we continue to advance our ideas and advance our issues in such a way that it commands media attention. And I think that we've well documented a lot of the things that have happened this summer and a lot of the media attention that we've incurred, but the latest example of this happened just last week while I was out of town doing a remote broadcast and shooting some political cesspool videos for YouTube. Eddie the Bombardier Miller was holding court with a journalist from a French newspaper, not on the phone, a French newspaper that flew from Paris to Memphis specifically to interview a member of the political cesspool hosting staff. That is the regard in which the political cesspool is held by some of the biggest newspapers and television programs in the world. And to fill in the blanks on that, I'll let the man who participated in that interview tell you the story himself. Eddie, how did it all begin?
Well, I'll tell you what. It all began with me being part of the political cesspool, Mr. James. And yeah, I'm very, very proud to be just a small part of this program. It's incredible how far it's come. And I was kind of in a daze myself. But like you said, James, this lady called me up one day out of the blue. I have no clue how she got my phone number. Probably through this Paul Babu in Arizona. She never told me. But the lady's name who interviewed me, James, her name is Karen LeJean. She has a her middle name was Lee. She said that her mother was a great admirer of English names. I asked her about that. And she made the fatal mistake, though. I had to correct her. Almost came to fisticuffs. She talked about General Grant Lee. You know, that caused quite a stir with the Seth Boob, honey. But she is, her title is Grand Reporter.
Grand Reporter. You didn't just get a old-fashioned reporter. You got a Grand Reporter.
That's right.
And from which publication, Ed?
That's true. From Le Journal du Dimanche. It is a newspaper in Paris, France. Like you say, she flew from Paris to Memphis, stopped in here. This newspaper, it's a Sunday paper. It comes out. It's a news. It covers, you know, they cover sports and whatnot and all kinds of news. They have a circulation of about 300,000. And to give you an example of where that rakes, it's about double the size of the Memphis Commercial Appeal, which has a circulation of about 149,000. It's in the ballpark with the Dallas Morning News, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, or maybe the Atlanta Journal-Constipation would be a better word, and the Minneapolis St. Paul newspaper. It's right in that it's par with them. But when I got kind of excited, James, I was doing some research, and I found out this newspaper that was started in 1948 in France was bought by this organization, and I hope I'm not butchering French, folks. I hadn't had French since I was in high school. I learned how to say parlez-vous français, but that's about it. But it's owned by this company called Lagardère Group through another huge group called, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Hachette Filippace Media. Well, according to the Internet, according to Wikipedia, it's one of the,
and we know Wikipedia never tells a lie.
That's right, and I checked out several other sites. It said they were one of the largest groups of its type in the world. They are a French-based multinational conglomerate, one of the world's leading companies. They're based; they do operations in 40 countries worldwide. They deal in books, electronic publishing, newspapers, digital media, and magazines.
So I think we've established it's a very reputable
publication.
Now, she was here a week ago Friday.
Correct.
And what you want to talk about when she touched down in Memphis?
Well, when she touched down in Memphis, she felt me out a little bit. I felt her a little bit. And by the way, I believe she's probably listening to the political cesspool tonight. I told her to tune in, and I believe she probably is. She would all have to add. Now, she may butcher us in the article. I took her to her word. She said she wouldn't, but she was very nice.
That's what they all say. Now, I, of course, told Eddie in my experience that, you know, this program has just been covered by everyone, Fox News, CNN. You know, you're talking about newspapers, Los Angeles Times, New York Times, London Times.
I mean it's really
Australia and around the world. This, you know, our program has been documented in these papers, and now we're covering in France. The Zeit in Germany, the biggest newspaper in Germany, has covered the show. Now
it's really mind-boggling, James.
We've never gotten a fair shake yet, but maybe Eddie has the magic touch. But what did she want to talk about?
Okay, she came into touch, and we talked about a wide variety of things. We touched on the political cesspool, but I didn't want to get lured too much into the cesspool because I'm not a professional interviewer, and I didn't want to slip up and say something that could be taken wrong, you know. But I told her pretty much what she wanted to believe was, what she wanted to find out about us was on our website. She said she had already read all that. Thank you very much. And so I told her in general, we talked about, us being a pro-white organization, strange as it may sound. We talked about some of the racial upheaval they've had in Paris. As a matter of fact, I sent her some stuff I pulled down off YouTube about the Africans from North Africa and the Muslims shutting down whole streets in Paris, France recently, which is against French law. Praying in the streets in France is against French law. And so we haven't even had that much trouble in the South because I don't think we'd put up with it. But we had a similar experience in New York City not long ago. We talked about, she wanted to know if we were a white supremacist, and I asked her to define white supremacist. I said, if you mean pro-white, we are very much proud to be pro-white. But I said we absolutely have no affiliation whatsoever with the Klan, the neo-Nazis, or anybody like that. I gave her a brief synopsis on how the Klan got started, with Nathan Bedford Forrest in Pulaski, Tennessee, eons ago. But,
and you're right to do that because the Klan of that day was very different than the incarnation of the 1920s and on into the 1960s. So it sounds like she was really touching on a lot of historical facts, really filling us out, as you said, in terms of our, political philosophy. But I know you touched on something that certainly sparked a media frenzy in and of itself, and that was...
That's right.
Big Paul Bebue flap. She was very interested in that, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. What she said, and I asked her several times, I said, why on earth would you come to Memphis, Tennessee, little podunk backwater Memphis, Tennessee? I said, most people in France probably never even heard of Memphis, Tennessee. There's probably people in the United States who hadn't heard of Memphis. And why would you come to talk to a little podunk redneck like me? And she said she knew that the political cesspool had interviewed this Sheriff Paul Bebue, in which we did. She knew, she was aware of the flap, and she was kind of aware, I believe she knew a little bit more about Paul Bebue than she was talking, and if she's listening, I'm saying this with honorable intentions. Anybody in the whole world that followed the Bebue thing and with his interview in the cesspool knows it created one hellacious stir. They tried to link him to, and I told her, since... She asked me, why did it cause such a stir? And I said, because the news media, the left-wing Marxist, cultural Marxist news media, they were all over him already. And the same people that hate, just despise the political cesspool, they despise him too. Because they call him a xenophobe. As they call us the same things, James. I point out the same, rabble that always jumps on us daily, the ADL and the... and all these other groups, the SPLC.
That whole Bebue thing is as famously widespread as it was. He could have nipped it in the bug if he had just been honest and admitted he had come on the show. They knew we came on, and by lying about it, it made it 100 times worse for himself and for McCain, his puppet master. But I don't know, you got into that as well.
Yeah, we got into that. Well, the interview, we talked over 3 hours. Wish I could have condensed it, wish I could have recorded it, but it was impossible to record because some of the talking conversations we had, we talked on the roof of the famous Peabody Hotel here in Memphis. That's one of the few landmarks we have that's worldwide, famous worldwide. We gave her a tour of the Peabody, gave her a tour of Front Street. We went down the mall, downtown. We went into some guru tea shops in a nice southern style restaurant. But she told me the way she got onto the story was with the Paul Bebue thing. The cesspool, we had him on the...
So all the way over in Paris, France, they pick up on just a random broadcast, a random episode of the cesspool. It's just amazing.
What the hell?
Eddie, hang on. I hear our music. Hang on right there, buddy. We're going to pick it up right there. We're talking more with Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who took part in a very big interview on behalf of the political cesspool just last week. Stay tuned. More to come.
Right after these messages.
We got to go.
place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Coming up in the third hour, in just about 15 minutes from now, Bill Rowland will be sliding into my chair. I have a social engagement tonight that I am going to be heading out to, but Bill Rowland will be manning the decks of the CSS cesspool here in the third hour forthcoming, and he will be interviewing not one but two incredible guests, Richard Spencer and Dr. Paul Gottfried. All that coming up in the third hour tonight. I'm telling you, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But first, continuing on now, as I've talked with political cesspool co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who recently partook in an interview with a journalist from Paris, France, who flew to Memphis just to get a few minutes with Eddie and the cesspool. And I'll tell you, you know, when we bring to your attention news like this, don't get the wrong impression that we're doing it braggadociously. The reason we bring you news like this is to let you know that which you have made happen. You know, the support of our listening audience has enabled absolutely everything that we've ever accomplished here at the Political Cesspool. So when you hear that we're getting covered by this newspaper or that newspaper or that television program or Rachel Maddow's bashing us on MSNBC again or, you know, whatever it is, this program has become a media magnet because of you. When we bring this to your attention, it's not as though we're patting each other's backs. We're bringing it to your attention because you made it all happen. You know, and I can't say it enough and I can't thank you enough. But getting back to the topic, and we want to, you know, I'll let you know everything that happened because we are transparent here. Eddie Miller, continuing on, we were talking about the fact that the very infamous interview that the political cesspool hosted with Paul Depew was a main point of topic here in Eddie's talk with this journalist from France. And I understand, Eddie, that Paul Depew originally agreed to meet with her, and then after he found out that she met with you, he chickened out once again. He's going to protect us from the illegal alien invasion. But he's not going to talk to us, he's not going to tell the truth to the media, and he's not going to meet with a petite French lady.
Well, I tell you what, you're absolutely right. When he heard those horrible words, the terrible words, I guess anybody would be afraid of the words, the political cesspool. Well, she was, Karen Lejean, the reporter, she was originally scheduled to fly out and do an interview with LeBeau, the sheriff. You know, she was aware of the flap. She was aware that Senator John McCain was tied up with Sheriff Paul Depew. You know,
and if you're not aware of this, if you didn't listen to the show, if you're a new listener, just Google political cesspool Paul Depew, B-A-B-E-U. You'll read all about it in any number of Phoenix newspapers or Arizona newspapers. But continue on, Ed.
Oh, yeah. I told her, you know, she would have been better served had she have interviewed him first without even mentioning our names. But, you know, if I'd have thought about that in time, I would have told her. But, yeah, we talked about that, and we covered the LeBeau thing about a half hour, 40 minutes or so. And then the other 2.5 hours, we talked about a wide range of things. We talked about, she asked me what I thought about the Tea Parties. And
I know you can't share on air exactly what you said to her
right.
about the Tea Parties, but
I told you,
let's just say you said they were basically feminine.
Just like that. Yeah, I told her that they had broke our heart here at the cesspool. They started out with a ball of fire, and they petered out. I said, you know, they pretty much spend all their time, groveling to the minorities, to proving that they're not racist, you know, and they've totally lost sight of what their original goals. And I told her that, the only offshoot that I really, organization I have any hope for at all was probably Oath Keepers and maybe the Campaign for Liberty, which was started by, Ron Paul. But I really am kind of losing faith in them. Something else interesting that we brought up Jean-Claude Le Pen. You remember him? He's to the French what Nick Griffin is to the British Nationalist Party.
Yeah.
And she was kind of surprised that we knew about Jean-Claude. I said, oh, no. You know, he's one of the heroes of ours. We talked about, We talked about General de Gaulle, which was kind of all the French, if you want to talk about a French hero, I kind of liked him because he stood up to the bullying of the internationalist globalists in the United States. I told her that de Gaulle, and she was aware, he was the one that forced Nixon to close the Gaulle window in, I think, 1972. We talked about that.
And I know, Eddie, not to interrupt, but I want to make sure you mention this to the audience tonight. I know you talked about a lot of things, but another one of them was socialized health care now.
Correct.
They're trying to ramrod it down our throats here. They have it in France, so y'all had a good back and forth about that.
Yes, they do. We had a good back and forth about that. She disagreed with me. I told her that the government, according to our Constitution, I said the only way we could change it legally was to change the Constitution, but the federal government has no right whatsoever to meddle in medicine. I said, I've been on this earth long enough to know that since the federal government got involved in medicine in the United States, the prices have increased for just out of sight. And, you know, one time I told her that the medical doctors in the United States took in 20 to 25% of their practice were, you know, of charity cases, just like the hospitals. And she says, well, you know, I told her about some of the health problems I've had and some of the family cesspools I've had. And she said, well, if we were in France, you know, we could get everything we wanted. And then I pointed out, well, you know, if the government is going to give you anything that you want, everything you need, they've got to take everything you have to give that to you. And but the main thing I point out, I said, that might work. That very well might work in a first world nation that was, you know, all-white nation like we have here, like it used to be in France, you know, 50, 60 years ago, Germany, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, the Netherlands. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, James, the Netherlands is, they're about broke. You know, their socialized medicine system is about broke because of these, the thousands of illegals, you know, the thousands of colors pouring into the nation. And see, they don't work. And I told her that's the same way it is with the Mexicans here in this country. They come in, they soak up all the free stuff, but they don't pay any into it. So we had a good little.
They don't pay any taxes except for maybe sales tax.
That's right. That's all they pay. You know, our medical system's gone broke. We talked about the Federal Reserve System, the money system worldwide, and we talked about how, you know, all the currencies of the world are sinking right now, like boats in an ocean, but the United States currency is really going down. I talked to her about that and how the Federal Reserve is really, really owned and controlled by the Bank of London. We talked about just you name it, and we talked about it. I was surprised.
Well, apparently, Eddie, you really represented the political cesspool with dignity and honor. You represented our audience well, and you know, as a member of the co-host, you certainly have the authority to do just that. And we are glad that you were able to do that. And apparently, she was so enamored with you and so struck by the fame of our show and our aura that they are sending a photojournalist now to take some pictures of you for the story, and that's going to happen on Monday.
Matter of fact, he called the house today, and we said that he wanted to do it today, but as you know, I've got things going on the home front, and I couldn't do it tomorrow, so Monday will be quite okay. He said that the paper wants them by the latest of Thursday. She gave the political cesspool a compliment. She said that we seem like we don't, in other words, I'll just paraphrase, we don't hide our candle under a bushel. She told me, and I told her in the end, I said that, you know, I hope that she was satisfied with me. I said, I hope you don't butcher me and butcher the cesspool because I've been as honest, forthright, and transparent as possible. And she said, I'll quote her, she said that I was probably one of the most honest, straightforward, easy to read people that she dealt with. And she mentioned it's a cesspool. You know, she said that, like you say, we don't pull any punches on the cesspool. Anybody who's listened to it knows that. We don't back down from nothing we believe.
Well, I'm going to have hope that this one will be different. You know, all the other interviews we've done, they either come in expecting us to fit the kooky stereotype, and when they find out that we're well-reasoned and articulate and able, you know, very, very normal, they either kill the story, or if they have the intentions of representing us fairly, the editor kills the story, or they just go ahead and print lies about us. You never know.
One thing I point out, James,
but hopefully this one will be different, and you know, that remains to be seen.
One thing I point out to her, if we can, and this is what I have hold up for. You know, if this site prints the story about the cesspool, we got the people who I consider the ones and the fives. We're the fives, and the ones are totally opposite from us. The ones are never, no matter what, you know, the SPLC, the extreme left, the social Marxists, no matter what we do, no matter the facts, they're never going to like us. We're working to try to change the fours and the threes. If we can work on the threes and the fours, the people the people that don't know about us but harbor sentiments like we do, if they can get any, if they can get this story to them, you know, if they can get it, we can get it out there where they could read it. We could get some more. We could get some more people on board with the cesspool, James. That's what I was hoping, because I'm not worried about the people that hate us. If she, you know, even if she lies, if the word racist, extremist, you know, a pro-white comes out, I think people that think like us, James, could, it's possible they could hold on to that. That's just my opinion. You know.
Well, we will find out. Obviously, the story should go to print within the next few days, and so we will wait and see what the final product looks like. But until then, no matter what happens, it's out of our hands now.
That's
we
right.
told them the truth. And we hope that they will reciprocate with truth as well. Even if they disagree with us, just give us a fair and objective shake, as we
That's
do.
That's right.
But, Eddie, listen, I know we're running out of time here. Love you, buddy. Thanks for representing our program and our audience with dignity in this interview. And we look forward to doing a follow-up as soon as the story is printed. And, of course, having you back on the show as soon as things settle down on your home front. You know, back on the show in regular
next
hosting
Sunday, James.
Rotation. All right, Eddie. Eddie Miller, everybody.
Bye-bye, fella.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.